When I first made the long trip to Nacogdoches for my freshman year in college, we took two cars, my car and my parents' car. They were not about to let me just haul off and go to Nacogdoches by myself. And so they followed me up there, or I followed them. And when we got there, my mother helped me organize my dorm room. My dad stood around knowing that any moment he was going to be able to give me all the words of wisdom I would ever need and give me all of the instructions that I needed. And they gave me so many instructions about two things mostly, and that was how to behave and how to be cautious as I navigated this new territory, basically unsupervised. I think that scares every parent of every college student. Well, we hugged and we kissed at the end of that day, and they got into their car and drove back to Houston, and I stayed in Nacogdoches. The next year, I went to Nacogdoches by myself. I took a small chest of drawers. I still have that. It was actually one that my mother used to store diapers in when we were all babies. And I took all the blue paint off of it, and I made it much more mature looking and just stained it with stain, and it has remained that way. And I couldn't get that in my car without a little help from my dad, and so he had to come out. I drove a Mustang convertible. I know, he bought it for himself, really, but I got it. And so he came out, and he took the top down, and he put the chest inside of the car, and then he put the top back up, and I just thought that was so slick. And so I got into the car, and he was giving me instructions about what to do when I got to Nacogdoches and how to get it out and to find some help and all of that kind of thing. So Mother was standing there, and I gave her a big hug, and she told me she loved me, and I told her I loved her, and I got in the car, and I started the engine. And she stood there in the driveway, and she was waving, and I was waving. And then as I looked at her a little more closely, I could see that she was crying. Now, my mother rarely cried. She was taught at an early age that people don't cry, don't do it. Doesn't get you anything, just don't do it. So she wasn't much of a crier, and yet there she was. Now, she wasn't sobbing, but I could see her wiping the tears from her face as I drove away with this elated liberation feeling. And yet there she was, and it hit me. I think she's going to miss me. And so I went on, and that was the first time that I realized that striking out for new adventure was really the same thing as leaving home. So the house where I grew up would never again be my real home. In fact, every time I came back to Houston to visit my parents after that, I would always get up. She would make this huge Sunday lunch, and I would get up, and I would say, okay, well, it's time for me to go home. And she would go, you are home. And I'd be going, And so we had this little dance. But she understood much better than I did at the time that all relationships change in some way or another. They don't all end, but they do all change. Now, today's passage takes us to the night that Jesus was betrayed by Judas. And it's part of that farewell discourse we've been talking about for several weeks. And Jesus is giving his disciples final instructions before he leaves the earth, and yet he's also encouraging them and comforting them as they all prepare for this change in their relationship. And for this whole passage to make sense, we really have to go back to verses 21 and 22. Because in verse 21, Jesus tells the disciples he will reveal himself to those who love him and follow his commandments. So then in verse 22, it says, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to Jesus, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large. And then verse 23 is where we actually begin, and this is his response. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. We will come and make our home with each of them. Now, that in itself is a pretty startling statement. But it doesn't end there, because in verse 25, then Jesus says, I'm telling you these words now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. Now think about that for a minute. Jesus is saying, number one, that he makes his home in us, and that God has sent the Holy Spirit to teach each of us and to remind us of all that Jesus taught his disciples. But it gets even better. In verse 27, Jesus says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. You see, the world teaches us that the definition of peace is the absence of conflict or the absence of pain. How typical for the world to teach us things that rely completely on our physical circumstances. Jesus is talking about the very peace of God. God's peace transcends mere circumstances. In fact, the peace of God has nothing at all to do with what's going on in the world. The peace of God has everything to do with what is going on in the hearts and minds of believers. So it is available only to those who know God and love God and obey his commandments. Jesus made that clear. And remember, this is an answer to a question. Why are you revealing yourself only to us and not to the world? So the world has to come in to this explanation. Now next, Jesus says something that's really interesting, and it tells us, I think, a lot about the way relationships function with God. In verses 28 and 29, Jesus says, remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. And I've told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. In other words, Jesus is telling us, that the world, which gives us an imitation of the things of God, will try very hard to win our hearts. But our hearts and our minds belong to God. Jesus is saying that we should expect things to be hard, and that when things are hard, we should remember that we have that gift of God's peace within us. You see, you can't experience the peace of God if you don't know God. Does that make sense? We can't experience God's peace if we don't know who God is. Now, the Holy Spirit then is the one who reminds us about what Jesus has taught us and about the fact that we have this great gift of God's peace. One commentator put it this way: the Holy Spirit doesn't teach us new things, but keeps Jesus' teachings alive in the post-resurrection community. That's us. We're the post-resurrection community. Now, these words were given to a group of men who knew and followed Jesus while he lived here on earth. But as those who continue to follow Jesus, that's us, who love God, that's us, and who obey his commandments, that's us, these words are meant for us as well. Jesus has given us the gift of peace and the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us navigate through the obstacle course that is sometimes called life. And it is an obstacle course. I mean, at least for me it is. I don't know, maybe y'all have these smooth lives that just have this straight path and you never encounter anything that's hard. If you do, I want to hear about what that's like. But we have to learn to walk through this obstacle course without giving up, without allowing the obstacles to overwhelm us, and without destroying the obstacles we encounter, because sometimes those obstacles are brothers and sisters. So we can't go around destroying these obstacles. We know the outcome before we begin, and here it is. The Holy Spirit will guide us, will protect us, and will give us peace. It doesn't get much better than that. Guiding, protecting, and giving us peace. The Spirit also gives light. Not just peace, but light as well. In 2 Corinthians, we get a glimpse of what Paul was saying as he was guided by the Holy Spirit, as he planted churches in all these different places. And this was at the church of Corinth, but he says, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Christ. And then he continues, and this is really an important part of this passage. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Have you ever had a clay pot that you have a plant in? Do you know that sometimes they crack? They crack pretty easily, don't they? There's a lot of people now that just sell plastic pots for your plants. I can't stand plastic pots. I'll take the fragile ones any day, even though they do break. But the fact is, when we have this light in our hearts, it shines through the cracks in those pots. Paul continues, he says, this makes it clear that our power comes from God, not from ourselves. We're pressed on every side by troubles. We're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but we are never abandoned by God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit right there. Never abandoned by God. So then the question becomes, if all of this is true, and it is, how can we possibly despair? How can we possibly give up? How can we decide that the Word of God is no longer relevant today? And how can we make the critical mistake of believing that everyone has already heard about Jesus? Jesus has given us the gift of the Spirit to help us see all of those anxious questions as nothing when compared to the peace that God gives us. Paul puts it this way. He says in Philippians, may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, be yours. I can't count the number of times that people have said, oh my gosh, that was... they tell me about an experience and it was so hard. I just don't even know how I got through it. When you say that, you do know. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. I've said it myself. I don't know how I got through that. And then I go, yeah, I do. I have to stop. Yeah, I do. Through the peace that passes all understanding given to us as a gift from Jesus through the Holy Spirit. We have this gift in jars of clay so that the light can shine through the cracks. And never forget that the Holy Spirit is an equal participant in that Holy Trinity that we talk about so often. I think sometimes we're tempted to just give that Holy Spirit an identity as some sort of leftover piece of the puzzle in the Trinity, but it is an equal heart with the Father and the Son. The Spirit gives us energy. The Spirit gives us direction. And the Spirit gives us peace. Now, after I left home that year for college, when I left my poor mother standing crying in the driveway. My relationship with her deepened, and we started to become friends and confidants at that time. And she used to write me letters. You know, we didn't text and we didn't cell phone. And it was expensive to call someone on the phone. So she would write letters because it was cheaper to put something in the postage. It was, what, 20-something cents, I guess. And so I would get these letters from my mother, who was really a great writer, and she loved to read. And she would tell me what the family was doing or what the dog was doing or what was going on in the world. She would just write these newsy kind of letters. And so I was a double major of English and drama, and so I had all this. It was like a shadow life, you know. I had these English major friends who were straight and upstanding, and then these theater friends who weren't. And so we would have lots of fun gathering around tables in different places. And so one day I decided, I had this letter in my purse from my mother. I said, "You got to hear this letter from my mother." And so I read this letter from my mother to all these college kids. There were about 8 or 10 of us. And decided just to read it out loud to them. And they sat there and they listened. And they laughed in all the right places. And after that, whenever we were together, they would say, "Have you gotten a letter from your mother lately?" So I used to carry these letters from my mother around with me so that if they asked, I could read them out loud. And they started looking forward to these letters, and they all came to know my mother, even though they never met her face to face. And I didn't really do much. I just read the letters. But it was her spirit that came through those letters into that group of kids, many of whom had this yearning for a mom who would write letters like that, who had this yearning for an adult in their lives who could love them and support them and walk with them, whose relationships with their own mothers weren't as strong as my relationship with mine. My mother was able to teach those kids what a strong and loving mother was, even though she wasn't physically present with them. And when I would go home, I told her all this, and I would tell her about some of those kids, and I told her some of their names, and she got to know them as if she had met them face to face, even though she never did. The Spirit reminds us of what Jesus taught us. The Spirit reminds us that Jesus has given us the gifts of light and peace in the midst of a chaotic and sometimes very dark world. How can we not share that gift with people who yearn to step out of darkness and into the light? How can we keep that gift closed up as if we might somehow run out of it if we let it out? There's plenty of peace from God. There's plenty of light through the Spirit. There's plenty for everyone. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.